Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord. Tonight's the night that the Lord has made once again. And you know what? We're constant because we believe God is blessing us. Tonight I want you to hear the message of God that God has, and they're coming on to you right now. Hello, Jason.
Hey, good evening, Dr. Hunter. How you doing this evening?
I'm blessed. Go right ahead. The show is yours. Take over.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, first, I want to say greetings to all that's listened. The grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to say thank you also to Dr. Hunter for opening up the airwaves and giving us, and the Lord has given us, and thanks to the Lord who's given us an opportunity to be able to fellowship in His Word once again this evening. Amen.
Amen.
we're going to open with the Book of Psalms, Book of Psalms, chapter 8, verse 1 through 4. We're going to open up with Psalm, chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. And it reads, Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the works of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them, human beings, that you care for them? Amen.
Amen.
And we know that God is all-powerful. God is everything. He's in everything. He created everything. And even what we know of him is so little in comparison to all who he is that we can't even fathom with our understanding, our thoughts, and our brains. And him being so powerful, yet he is, as the song says, he is mindful of us, that he values his creations, that he's so powerful, yet he values the creations, the lives of the things that he has created. And so today we're going to talk about that relationship between the Creator and what he created, us being human beings, and how God is so powerful, but because God is love, he highly values our life. And we're going to talk a little bit about how he, you know, involves himself in our lives. And so we're going to talk about four areas as we talk about how God places value on us. We're going to talk about how, number one, God knows us in every way. He knows us in every way. And it's great that we serve a God that he didn't just create us and then throw us off in the desert somewhere. No, not only did God create us, but he follows his creation, and he wants to be in an intimate relationship with his creation. And so we're going to talk about one area is God knows us in every way. The second area we're going to talk a little bit about is understanding that God is omnipresent, that he is everywhere. And the last two, point three, is God created us with a purpose. Okay? And lastly, because he created us, we are accountable to him. And that one seems to be a very touchy one in this world where we live in a society, we live in a world that rejects the authority of Christ, rejects the sovereignty of God. And so we're going to talk a bit about that whole dynamic and relationship between him and us. So point one, God knows us in every way. He knows us in every way. And let's continue in Psalm, but we're going to go over to Psalm 139, and we're going to read verses 1 through 6. Psalm 139, verse 1 through 6, and it says, verse 1, you have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. But for a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. So God searches our hearts and minds. He knows everything we do, everything we do. You know, there's nothing hidden from us. Now, we as humans are limited. We can't read each other's minds, but we're able to somewhat perceive what somebody may be thinking, but we can't read each other's minds. We can hide things from each other. You know, we can, you know, say one thing in front and then maybe behind closed doors do something differently. We have ways to shield ourselves, even when it's not a negative way. Sometimes we have ways to shield our motives and our thoughts from new people that we meet because we don't really know them that well. We're trying to get known, so we have ways of doing that. But see, before God, who has created us, he knows already where we are, what we're doing, and he knows what we're going to say before we even speak. You know, it says here in verse 4, before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. So he knows anything and everything we're going to say and we're going to do before we do it. And this is has to be a wonderful thing to know that we have a God that is so intimately involved and engaged in us. And at the same token, it's a dynamic that we can't even completely grasp. And so I just think that's wonderful that we have a God that's not a father that abandons, but a father that is intimately involved in our lives. And he knows us. He knows his creation in every way. So we're going to keep going to our second point of today's lesson. Is God is omnipresent. And we're going to stay in chapter 139 of Psalm, and we're just going to keep reading down verse 7 through 10. Verse 7 says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far sea side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. Amen. Amen. And so God is everywhere. We talked a little bit about that through verses 1 through 6, how familiar God is with us and how he knows what we're going to think, we're going to say. But he also is everywhere. You know, he's everywhere. God is omnipresent. You know, the definition of omnipresent means to be present everywhere at the same time. And only God is that way. Only God is that way. The devil is not. He can only be one place at one time. But God is omnipresent. He's everywhere at one time. And so there is a comfort to know that no matter where we go or what we do or what good places we find ourselves or what dark places we may find ourselves in, that God is there and present with us. And he's there to walk with us through everything that is going on. And we have to remember, because God is omnipresent, because he is everywhere at the same time, that there's no good or bad things that we can do that's hidden from him. So when we do our good things, even when it's done in secret, God is there. You know, we did a lesson last December on giving and how the Bible talks about how when we give, we don't give openly, okay? But when we give, we don't let our left hand or our right hand do, but we do our giving in secret. So whom is unseen, which is God, sees what we do in secret with rewards openly. But that's good because he sees what we do behind closed doors, and he searches our hearts. And because of that, he rewards us openly. So there's no good thing that God, that we do, if we do it to honor him, even if it's done in secret, it is seen by him. It is not missed by him because he is present. And also, there's no bad things that we can do that is hidden from him. And as I talked about before, you know, we can hide things from certain people. We can hide stuff from our spouses and friends. You know, we can try to, you know, create a wall of protection around us so we don't let people kind of get in to our lives so that way people can start ministering to us in certain ways. We can do all those things, but we cannot hide ourselves from God. I love how the Hebrew writer put it. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13, It says, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Amen. Amen. Let's read that one more time. Hebrews 4:13. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Amen. Amen. So we're going to keep on going. We're going to keep on going here down to point three. God created us with a purpose. You know, I was talking to somebody the other day, you know, and I was telling them, I said that, you know, sometimes, you know, when we're walking and we're in relationship with God, and, you know, even when we struggle in our relationship with God, God begins to speak to us, and sometimes it can seem like the things that God is saying is maybe, you know, small talk or those type of things and whatnot, you know, maybe it's random statement he made. But one thing you learn as you grow in your relationship with God is God does not make small talk. And even though it may appear to be to us, he says and does everything to us with intention. And everything he says has a significant gravity as it applies to our life. And so, but the same goes to how when he created us, too. He created us with a purpose. He created us. He was intentional in everything he did when he was putting us together. And so, again, in Psalm 139, going further down to verses 13 through 16, very popular section of the word. It says in verse 13, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearful and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Amen. Your eyes saw my unfolding body. All the days are ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Amen. We were fearfully and wonderfully made. Fearfully and wonderfully made. Amen. I reflect a couple weeks ago, you know, do Bible study with my two oldest children that are old enough to understand the English language. And we did a lesson on, you know, we talked so much to them about, you know, the stories in the Bible and some lessons of what God affects the children. But one time we did a lesson, I said, you know what, sometimes as children you may think that we're just doing things. You don't understand why parents is making you do this and do that. But I think some of that has to do with the fact that I don't think you understand what God has called a parent to do. So we're going to go through the scriptures and help you to understand what God has called a parent to do. And when you understand what I mentioned, do you understand the reason why we do some of the things we do? So we went through the scriptures to do around me and, you know, all the different scriptures about what God has called, holding us as parents accountable as being stewards over the children that he gives us. We went through the whole thing. In fact, we got to the end of that lesson, and I looked at them, and I said, the question that you might be asking is, why does God go through so much trouble? Why would he go through so much trouble to ensure that you have a place and an environment where you can grow? And ensure that parents, we're not left without oil, that we're given clear instructions in the Bible on how to give you a relationship. So why would God go through all that? And we went to this portion in Scripture. At 139, verse 13 through 16, we went through that, and you should see the smiles on their face and how to hear words like they were fearfully and wonderfully made and how God created their inmost being and knitted them together in their mother's womb. That God took his time. And every strand on their hair was made with parts, And that's just a wonderful feeling that a child can accept, that we as adults need to remember that there is no wasted life. That God made us with a purpose. He took his time and he was intentional, and he didn't stop at the creation of us. But he continued that. He wants to continue that love affair with us throughout our life here in this earth. And so I just think that's one. We remember that God created us with a purpose. He took his time. And he didn't need 9 months to create us, but he took 9 months to do it. And so we just need to remember God created us for the purpose. He was intentional. We need to remember we did not evolve from apes. Our creation is not the result of some molecular failure, random events that happened that all of a sudden we just came up out to see and was made. You know, that's what some people in the world believe, okay, that resist what is referred to as intelligent design. No, we was created with a purpose. And so we just need to remember that. Lastly, because of the fact that God knows us in every way, God is also present everywhere at the same time. He's omnipresent. And he created us with such purpose and love and care. Then what that also means is that because we are the ones that are being created, we are accountable to the Creator. We are accountable to the Creator. And this is also that tend to be widely resisted by those that do not believe in the holy and living God, those who do not believe in the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, whom is Jesus Christ, whom the world was created through. So we are accountable to him. We are accountable to him. As we say in Psalm 139 and go down to verses 23 and 24, it says, "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting." In the way everlasting. See, we are accountable to him. We are accountable to him. You know, we are the, in other words, God is the potter and we are the clay. That's another way that the Bible refers to our relationship. He created us and formed us. We are the clay. We are the clay. And so, and what you have a lot of times in the world, that folks that don't believe in Jesus Christ, folks that believe in all these different doctrines, humanism and atheism and universalism and, you know, all these different things, you know, they all have one thing in common. They reject the authority of a higher, they reject the authority of a God that we have to be accountable to. Because the God they worship is, when you look at all, it's the worship of self, that man is God. And man is not accountable to anything, and truth is relative. So you have your truth, I have my truth, but we know better as servants of the Most High God that the truth is Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And he is the only way to be in relationship with God, and he's the only way to salvation. But we live in an environment, in a society, where this is not widely celebrated. This is not widely celebrated. So as Christians, we will come in contact with those where the primary issue is that if they acknowledge that they were created by God, if they acknowledge that Jesus Christ was, but then they also have to accept his sovereign authority over their lives, and they have to be accountable to him. They have to be accountable to him. And so we have to remember, this is an issue we need to remember. Again, we are the clay and God is the potter. Isaiah puts it this way. In Isaiah chapter 45, verse 9, he says, "Woe to those who quarrel with their maker, those who are nothing but potsherds and among potsherds on the ground. Does the clay say to the potter, 'What are you making?' Does the work say, 'The potter has no hands?'" We are accountable to God, and we have to remember, because he's loved us, because he made us in a purpose, God is not accountable to us. God does not answer to us. Amen. He does not answer to us. He does not have to justify his actions to us, because he is perfect and his ways are greater than ours. We are in no position to question him. None. No position to question him, because he is the creator. He is perfect. He is love. And God knows all that he is doing. And so we have to remember, you know, it's just amazing. We live in a society where, you know, where we, as you said, we have a society right now that celebrates homosexuality. Where you, and basically where we decided to lift this fist up to God and say, "Somebody, you made a mistake, and you made me this way. We made it this way." You know, and we know when we read our word in the Bible that that's just not so. That's just not so. And people make decisions that they want to make decisions, and they want to calls God to judgment, that he needs to explain himself. But God does not have to explain himself. And God is looking for those that love him, that's willing to serve him, that's willing to come before him humbly and serve him. And when we're in a relationship with God, there's a difference between calling God to that you want to have him justify something. There's a difference between that or humbly come before God and asking him a question to gain understanding. Because what does it say here? You know, we come with God. We say in verse 23, 139, verse 22, it says, "Search me, God, and know my heart, and test me, and know my anxious thoughts." See, God searches the heart. He searches the heart. So he knows what condition we're in when we come before him. And so, you know, I think about Jesus when he dealt with that constantly with the Pharisees, questioning him, questioning this authority, questioning this, questioning this. And whenever, you know, they ask him, well, you know what, if you're the Son of God, you know, and again, I'm paraphrasing here a little bit, you're the Son of God, give us a sign. And Jesus knew, and for Jesus, he knew and proceeded to tell us to know right, even within their question. So God is not going to bow down to a prideful heart. And that's a whole other lesson on what how God views prideful, pride in us. That's a whole other lesson. But he does not have to answer to us. But when we come into a love relationship with him and we acknowledge that he knows everything about us, he's everywhere, so we know that we can never escape his presence. And then he created us with a purpose, then as we go with him, then we don't have the need to ask this question. We just trust him. We trust him in everything he does because we know, just like an earthly father, when we were all children, we had earthly fathers. And they've been in the world a little bit longer than we have, and a lot of times when they spoke things that we had to trust them because they were not only the authority that we were under, but we had to trust because we knew that they had been through things that was they were the ones imparting wisdom on us, and we had to trust them, even though we didn't quite understand everything our parents was asking of us. And so if we can trust an earthly father, how much more should we trust the Heavenly Father, whom is perfect, who created us, who came and left the heaven, came down to be among us, taught us, lived, died, and was resurrected so that we can have a pathway to Christ? How much more should we love him and trust him? And so we need to remember that we're the potter, you know, that he's the potter, we're the clay, and we're created for a purpose, and that he loves us. We love him. And there are times when we don't always understand him, but that has been common for most of humanity and whatnot. But we need to remember that he, even though he is God, he loves us, we have to always acknowledge where he is in comparison to us, where he is. You know, I'm always recall when the disciples asked Jesus, teach us how to pray. And the first thing Jesus says, Jesus said when he started teaching them to pray, he had to acknowledge Heavenly Father. He acknowledged the position that they were in and where whom they were praying to and where the Heavenly Father was. He was in heaven. And so we need to remember that he's still in heaven. In Isaiah, back in Isaiah, chapter 55, verses 8 through 9, puts it this way. He says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither is your ways my ways, declares the Lord." Verse 9, he says, "As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." Amen.
Amen.
So we just need to remember, we really need to remember that God loves us, but we also need to glorify him, and we need to worship him and understand that he is also a heavenly Father, that heaven is his throne, and the earth is his footstool, and that we are his created beings. And our focus should not be trying to question him and wonder about all different things. He'll give those things to us in a love relationship with him over time. But our focus is serving him, saying yes, Lord, trust him, because we know that he created us, and everything he does is in love and for our good. Amen?
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, you know, you talked tonight on a subject that I love because God said it. Psalm 1 all the way through. I love that psalm. I love those psalms. I love what God is doing through you, preacher. I love the love that God has for you. I love the love that God has bestowed upon you, the goods of his blessings. I love what God is going to use you in things yet to come that are unseen but are told. And I say this to you tonight. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. And one thing I want to tell you, always keep this in mind no matter where you go. No matter how big I get, I'm always a little person God's got sight.
Amen.
No matter how big I get, I'm always but a little person God's got sight. You see,
amen.
But God said he created us. He knew us from the beginning. He knew us. He created us. God so loves us that he gives us all he wants us to have. And I say this to you, my brother, my young nephews, to God be the glory.
Amen.
For the teaching knowledge, I sit back and I just say, wow, man, this brother's digging deep. See, you don't have the shovel. You have a pick. You're deep down into the word, and it takes time. You just can't go and take a shovel. You got to take a spike and just hit it one at a time, pull it loose, because it might be the most, so many jewels in there. You're going to find diamonds, rubies. I'm talking about the word of God. But it's going to infuse your life with the fullness that you have. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Anything else you have to say before the Lord, before you go?
Amen. Well, I just again want to thank you, Dr. Hunter, and I thank you for your words. And I just say that, you know, getting in God's word is just a wonderful experience. And for those of us that are struggling with, you know, getting the time in the word, you know, you're really missing it. You're really missing it. You know, I was telling someone that, you know, that a lot of the struggles that they were having is because they don't really know God. And they said, well, how I don't know God? I said, well, you told me yourself you don't have time to read your Bible. So how is it can you know God, but you don't read about him? You need to read about him. Prayer is a part of it, but it's not enough to know him. You have to read about him. And through that process, God feeds you. He sows a seed in you that is a righteous seed that is supposed to grow a righteous harvest in your life. And so the only way to know him, you have to read his word. It's not as possible to even know the will that God has for your life if you don't read your Bible. Because everything you need, you know, the will and purpose of your life is in there. And I tell people all the time, we have a lots of excellent men and women of God that's reading and being able to talk about the word and also writing books to explain certain portions of the word and whatnot. And that's very, very important. But we also have to remember at the same time that everything we need is in there. And if we're willing to sit down and take the time and spend time with God and read the word, oh, what a wonderful experience is going to be. And we won't be the same as we were when we started. So, amen. I know, because I'm a walking, living testimony to it. And I just can't get enough of his word. And so I just encourage us to increase in our love relationship with him and get in there and read the word and know, you know, it's a great benefit to us, and it's a wonderful experience to know who we serve. It's hard to serve somebody when you don't know them. And I just encourage us to remember that and just really get in the word. Amen.
Amen. Well, you know, my prayers will be with you until next time. Remember my words. I love you. I love you. I love you. Ain't nothing you can do about it. So until next time, the Lord bless you. God bless you.
God bless you, too, Uncle. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Okay, God bless you. Bye-bye now. Amen, amen. To God be the glory for the things he has done. And what God has done for us, God has made it possible for us. And I believe and what God is doing, God wants to get us to know. He is the one. If we can trust God, if we can believe God. See, God is calling on his people. He's calling on his people who will trust in him. He's calling on his people. He wants us to know that he is the Lord of our Savior. And as we walk and talk to God, we just humble ourselves more toward him. See, I once had little children. Now I got grown children. They got children. So they have to raise them up according to as I taught them. And I'm saying to somebody, please take time to know that they are all right. Please take time. God loves you, and God loves you. God wants you. And you know, one thing I will say to you, I'll say it to you, because God is the one that made it possible. He made it possible. It's up to you. See, if you're given something and you miss it, it's your fault, not our fault. And I say it with love and kindness. Thank God for everything he has done. Thank God for the thing he has done. Thank God for the thing he has done. And see, all God's going to do is make provision for us. See, when God makes provision for us, I know some people want to do what they do, but I never forget it. If I tell you I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm not going to forget about it. But I want you to know I love you. Thank God for you. And I love God for you. And right now I'm going to put on some healing scriptures. And we go forward just to do what God said do. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Let's see what we got here. Nope. Nope.
I'm reading from Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20, 21, and 22. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. In the margin of my King James Translation, it reads, my words are medicine to all their flesh. So God's word is medicine to all our flesh. So therefore, I just want to read from the word of God and give you God's message. First of all, from Matthew, the 6th chapter, the 9th through the 10th verse. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Healing is God's will. There is no sickness in heaven, the Bible said, so it's God's will that there be no sickness on earth. Then 3 John, verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prosper. Then again, 1 John, the 5th chapter, the 14th and 15th verses. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 12 and 13. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down, the feeble knees. Make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it not be healed. And then Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. For it is God which worketh in both the will and the do of his good pleasure. Romans 8, 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Romans 8:31. If God be for us, who can be against us? Malachi 3:6. For I am the Lord, I change not. Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Deuteronomy 7:15. And the Lord will take away from thee all sickness, and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt, which thou knowest, upon thee. Exodus 15:26. If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none or forbid these diseases upon thee, which I have committed upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Jeremiah 30:17. For I will restore health, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord. Jeremiah 33:6. Behold, I will bring it health and cure, and I will cure them, and will reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth. Deuteronomy 30:19-20. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him. For he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers. Leviticus 26:3, and then the 9th verse. If ye walk in my statutes, and keep my commandments, and do them, I will have respect, make you fruitful and multiply you, and establish my covenant with you. Isaiah 58:8. Then shall thy light break forth in the morning, and thy health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Genesis 20:17. So as Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants, and they bare children. 2 Chronicles 30:20. And the Lord hearkened to Hezekiah, and healed the people. 2 Kings 20:5. Turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears, behold, I will heal thee. Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not think it? 2 Chronicles 6:4. O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in the heaven nor in the earth, which keepeth covenant and showeth mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all their hearts. 2 Chronicles 16:9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Psalm 145:8-9. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. Job 37:23. Touching the Almighty, he is excellent in power and in judgment and in plenty of justice. He will not afflict. Psalm 67:1. That thy way may be known of all earth, thy saving help among all nations. Psalm 105:3. He brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribe. Psalm 103:3. Who forgiveth all thy iniquity, who healeth all thy diseases. Psalm 147:3. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. Psalm 23:1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Psalm 30:2. O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. Psalm 34:19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivered him out of them all. Psalm 41:3. the Lord will strengthen him above the bed of languish. Psalm 42:11, hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Matthew 7:11, if he that in me know how to give good gifts unto the children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Then Isaiah shows us that healing is in the plan of redemption. Isaiah 55:4-5. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, or the margin reads, surely he has borne our pain and carried our sicknesses. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Matthew 8:17. That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. 1 Peter 2:24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Galatians 3:13, verse 14, and then verse 29. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles, Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. Then Colossians 1:12-14, and then chapter 2:10-15, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet or able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in life, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, and having spoiled principality and powers, he made the show of them openly, triumphant over them in him. Hebrews 9:12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Ephesians 5:30. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his blood. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hosea 13:14. I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plague. O grave, I will be thy destruction. In Exodus 20:12, we read, honor thy father and mother, that thy days may be long upon the earth the Lord thy God giveth thee. Deuteronomy 5:33. Ye shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you, that you may live, and that it may be well with you, and that ye may prolong your days in the land which ye shall possess. Deuteronomy 11:21. That your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. 1 Chronicles 29:28. And he, David, died in a good old age, full of days, riches, and honor. Job 5:26. Thou shalt come to thy grave in a full age, like a shock of corn cometh in his season. Psalm 90:10. The days of our years are 80, that by reason of strength they be 80 years. The 91st Psalm, verses 10-16. Thou shalt no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy blood. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bind thee up in their hand, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shall thou trample under thee. Because he has set his love upon thee, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in strength. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and sure my salvation. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 11. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. Ecclesiastes 7:17. Why should his life die before thy time? Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run, not be weary. They shall walk, and not faint. Isaiah chapter 65, verse 22. Thou shalt not build, and another inhabit. They shall not plant, and another. For as the days of the tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is life. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And so you see, God has promised us long life, and he wants us to have long life. Now, then, this book of the scriptures concerning the birth walk of Jesus and his name. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torment, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. Matthew the 8th chapter, the 2nd and 3rd verse. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was clean. Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 through 10, and then verse 13. And when Jesus was in the garden, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come to you. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word over, and my servant will be. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth. To another, come, and he cometh. And to my servants, do this, and he doeth this. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said to them, the Father, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done. And his servant healed the selfsame hour. Matthew chapter 8, verses 14 through 17. And when Jesus was coming to Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother lame and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmity and bare our sickness. Matthew chapter 9, verses 20, 21. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. Matthew chapter 9, verses 27 through 36. And when Jesus departed, thence two blind men followed him, crying and saying, thy son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was coming to the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus saith unto them, believe ye that I am able to do this? And he said unto him, yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were opened. And Jesus straightly charged them, saying, see that no man know it. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. As they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man, possessed with a devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake, and the multitude marveled, saying, it never so seen in Israel. But the Pharisees said, he casteth out devils through the prince of the devils. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the love, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Matthew chapter 12, verse 15. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. Matthew chapter 14, verses 13 and 14. When Jesus heard of it, he departed then by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the city. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. Matthew chapter 14, verses 34 through 36. And when they were gone over, they came unto the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place acknowledged him, they sent out to all the country round about and brought unto him all the good seeds, and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched were made perfectly whole. Matthew chapter 29 through 31. And Jesus departed thence and came nigh to the Sea of Galilee and went up to a mountain and sat down. And great multitudes came with him. They were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. Insomuch that the multitude wondered, and when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to behold, the lame to walk, and the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. Then Mark chapter 5, verse 1 through 43. And they came over to the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. When he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had been dwelling among the tombs, that no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Man tamed him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountain and in the tomb, crying and cutting himself with stone. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, cried with a loud voice, and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh to the mountain a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And then the spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled, and told in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus, and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion, sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coats. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish it in Decapolis, how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come, and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garments. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus immediately, knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said unto him, "Thou seest the multitude following thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And he looked around about to see her that had done this. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, "Daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." While he yet spake, there came from the rulers of the synagogue house certain which said, "Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master in his breath?" As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, "Be not afraid, only believe." And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, seeth the tumor, and them that wept, and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, "Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth." And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, and entered in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand, and said unto her, "Talitha kumi," which is being interpreted, "Damsel, I say unto thee, arise." And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with great astonishment. And he charged them straight that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her. Then Mark the 6th chapter, verse 53 through 56. And when they had passed over, they came into the land of Gennesaret and drew to the shore. When they were come out of the ship, straightway they knew him, and ran through the whole region round about, and began to carry about in bed those that were sick, where they heard he was. And whithersoever he entered into village, or city, or country, they laid the sick in the streets, and besought him that they might touch, if it were but the border of his garment. And as many as touched him were made whole. Then Mark the 7th chapter, verse 25 through 37. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him, and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But when Jesus said unto her, "Let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto dogs," then she answered and said unto him, "Yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs." He said unto her, "For this sake, go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter." And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out, and her daughter laid upon the bed. And again departed from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came unto the Sea of Galilee, through the midst of the coast of the Decapolis. And they bring unto him one that was deaf, and had an impediment in his speech. And they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude, and put his fingers in his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said unto him, "Get up, that is, be open." And straightway his ears were open, and the string of his tongue was loose. And he spake plain, and he charged them that they should tell no man. But the more he charged, so much the more the great deal they published him, and were beyond measure astonished, saying, "He hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak." Then in Mark the 9th chapter, the 17th through the 29th verse, and one of the multitude answered and said, "Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And whithersoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples, that they should cast him out, and they could not." And he answered him and said, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me." And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tare him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed before him. And he asked his father, "How long is it ago since this came unto him?" He said, "Of a child. And oftentimes it has cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus said unto him, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible. The end of belief. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. And when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thy dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore, and came out of him, and he was as one dead, inasmuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? He said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Then in Luke chapter 4, verses 16 through 21, and he come up to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up far to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Then Luke, the 4th chapter, verses 33 through 36, and then the 40th verse, the 41st verse. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee? Thou, Jesus of Nazareth, art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace, and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him into the midst, he came out of him, and hurt him not. And they were all amazed, and spake among themselves, saying, what a word is this? For with authority and power he commanded the unclean spirits, and to come out. Now when the sun was set, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him, and he laid hands on every one of them, and healed them. And devils also came out of them, and cried out, saying, thou art Christ, the Son of God. And he rebuked them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew he was Christ. Then in Luke the 6th chapter, verses 6 through 10, and it came to pass also on another Sabbath, that he entered into the synagogue and taught. And there was a man whose right hand was withered. And the scribes and Pharisees watched him, whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might find an accusation against him. But he knew their thoughts, and said to the man which had the withered hand, rise up, stand forth in the midst. And he arose, and stood forth. Then said Jesus unto them, I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy? And looking round about upon them all, he said unto the man, stretch forth thy hand. And he did so. And his hand was restored whole as the other. Then in Luke the 6th chapter, the 17th through the 19th verse. And he came down with them and stood in the plain, and the company of his disciples, with a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem, from the sea coast and Tyre and Sidon, came to hear him and to be healed of their disease. And they that were thankful for the spirits and the And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for they went virtue out of him, and he ruled them all. This is the 13th chapter, verses 11 through 7. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of 18 years, and was bowed together, and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him, and said unto her, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands upon her. And immediately she was made straight, glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because of Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, there are 6 days in which men are to work. If then therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. The Lord then answered him and said, thou hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath day loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to water? And art not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, lo, these 18 years, be loose from this bond on the Sabbath day. And when he had said these things, All his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. This is John's Gospel, the 5th chapter. We shall read verses 2 through 14. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of infirm folk, a blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him alive, and knew that it had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The opponent then answered him, Sir, I have no man, as the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, He that made me whole the same Sabbath, take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they, What man is that which said unto thee, Take up thy bed? And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had made himself aware of who being in that place. After Jesus found of him at the temple, and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest the worst thing come up unto thee. Then in John the 9th chapter, we shall read verses 1 through 7. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither has this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is yet day, when I am when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. He said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sin. He went his way, therefore, and watched, and came, seeing. Then in John chapter 10, verse 10, the thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come, that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundant. Acts chapter 10, verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Then again, Matthew, the 10th chapter, the 1st verse. When he called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases. Mark, the 16th chapter, verses 15 through 20. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, and confirming their word, signs followed. John, the 14th chapter, verses 12 through 15. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Whatsoever shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love, keep my commandments. Acts the 6th chapter and the 8th verse. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Acts chapter 8, verses 6 and 7. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake. hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many that were possessed with him, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame, were healed. Acts chapter 9, verses 33 and 34. And there he found a certain man named Amos, which had kept his bed 8 years, and was sick of the palsy. And Peter said unto him, Amos, Jesus Christ, make thee whole. Arise, make thy bed, and behold him. Acts chapter 14, verses 8 through 10. And there said a certain man that listened with him, holding him, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked, the same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him, and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand upright. And he leaped and walked. Acts chapter 19, verses 11 and 12. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought pictures or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. James chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. Is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if you have committed sin, it shall be forgiven. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Then Malachi chapter 4, verse 2. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And he shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, and in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Philippians chapter 2, verse 8. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, has given him a name which is above every name, that in the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things are being in heaven, and things are being in earth, and things are being under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ